Hello, brothers and sisters, Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. And today we celebrate the feasts of Saints Timothy and Titus. They were both collaborators with Paul in preaching the gospel, and it's really worth reading those letters of Paul's to Timothy and to Titus. Today we look at the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. I yearn to see you again, recalling your tears, so that I may be filled with joy as I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and that I am confident lives also in you. So here's an older brother taking care of a younger brother, brother meaning brother in Christ. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. Brothers and sisters, that's for you. The bishop extended his hands on you when you were confirmed. And Paul is telling Timothy, as he tells us, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. He gave us a spirit of power, and of love, and of self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. With the strength that comes from God. It's so important, brothers and sisters, that we learn how to rely on God's strength, especially when we're undertaking some very important things for him. Don't rely on your own. Need to ask God, how do I use the strength you give me? How do I put it to work for your glory? How do I be a good steward of the strength you've given me? And let the Lord become your strength. Let him be the direct source from which you draw. Not your physical condition, not all your exercise, not all the sports you play, not all these things. Don't draw your strength from there. Draw your strength from the Lord, who's commissioned you in a certain sense. Everyone who's baptized and confirmed, we're commissioned to speak the gospel. How am I to do it? In what circumstances do I find myself? How do I live the gospel? Because we preach it most loudly by the way we act, by our priorities, by our kinds of conversation. Pay attention. There's a second possible reading. You can read the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to Titus. First was Timothy, the second is to Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Only one of them will be read at Mass, but I just want to encourage you actually to read them both, because they just have, they're short, but they have a lot to say to encourage us. And the responsorial psalm, proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. You know that call is to you. You baptized and confirmed Catholic, you recipient of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all nations. Really, it's the call of every Christian. That's what the new evangelization should do. It should activate us. It should help us to realize what we're being called to, what kind of an example we're called to give, how we're supposed to trust in him, how our priorities shift until others can see that there's been a change. Go out into the whole world and tell the good news. That's the call to each and every one of us. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Announce his salvation. Tell his glory among the nations. Give the Lord, you families of nations. Give the Lord glory and praise. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He governs the peoples. He's the Lord. I'm not. He's the master. I'm not. I follow him. I am his servant. I am also his brother, his sister, his friend. And among the very best of his friends, if I'm following him. There's nothing quite like it than to be a friend of God. And Timothy and Titus learned that. And the gospel for today is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 other disciples whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you." In other words, you don't have to get bent out of shape if someone doesn't receive the peaceful visit that you're making. It will return to you. Trust in God. Stay in the same house and eat and drink whatever is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his pay. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The kingdom of God is at hand for you. That means you can touch it in a certain sense. It means that it's right here. You can stretch out your arms. The kingdom of God is the presence of God, is the presence of God working through you. Are you a temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you, in a sense, a tabernacle of the Most High God? It doesn't mean going around all sanctimonious and pious. It means knowing that I am Christ's disciple and that everywhere I go, into every situation in which I enter, I need to exhibit the qualities of a disciple of Christ so that people will be drawn to him. Not to me, but to him. I can be the gateway, but I want to point them to him. I want them to begin, if they haven't already, that eternal relationship that God wants them to have. That's the zeal, that's the spirit, that's the heart of what God wants to put in us. And all the graces are in us by baptism and confirmation. They're there. But we've got to activate them. And you activate them by your free will. You activate them by saying, "Thank you for the gifts you've given me. Thank you. I don't understand them all, but thank you for the gifts you've given me. Lord, I want you to be seen through me. I want people who come to me and talk to me experience your presence, your love, your mercy, your healing, your wisdom, your justice. Help me to be a servant of the Most High God. Help me to be a son or a daughter who loves God with all her heart or his heart. Help me." Cry out. Scripture says, cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Cry out at the top of your lungs, "Help me, Lord." He can hear the whisper. Sometimes it just helps us to shout. God wants real disciples. No, I walk down the street sometimes thinking to myself, "Is that a disciple of Christ? Is that a disciple of Christ? Is that person?" Sometimes I can tell. Sometimes I honestly can tell by the look on their face. Sometimes. Not often, but sometimes. If people look at you, do they see a disciple? What does that mean? It means you're kind, you're merciful, you're generous, you're attentive, you're willing to serve, help, assist. You're bringing Christ. Is it clear that you are a servant of the Lord? If not, what are you going to do about it? We need to do something. We need to do something. Can't just stand around and say, "Oh, well, I wish," or "I wish I had those gifts," or "I wish I were this," or "I wish I were that." Don't do that. Don't do that. God wants you. He created you with your strengths and with your weaknesses. He created you. He wants to use you as you are. Give your life to him so that he can. Father Tadeusz Deitcher, a Polish priest, said this, "The chosen people could not secure themselves in a human way by accumulating reserves. This was due to the fact that God led them into the desert to strip them of their securities." To strip them of their securities. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, how do we pray? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for the day. Don't look to the 3-year plan or the 5-year plan. Don't do that. Give your life over today. And the next day, today. Give your life each day. Give us this day for today, not for tomorrow or for the whole month. We belong to you. You care about that which belongs to you. In the desert, the Lord had to fight with human egoism, which caused the chosen people to refuse to trust in him in spite of the miracle. He had to fight for the faith of his people. Maturity in faith means the willingness to give up to the Lord everything that he gives us and totally entrust ourselves to him. Hear that again. Maturity in faith means the willingness to give up to the Lord everything that he gives us and totally entrust ourselves to him. We should not attach ourselves to anything, not even to spiritual gifts, not even to Holy Communion. God's will is the only reality to which one may attach oneself without claiming it for oneself. Everything besides God's will is a gift and a means to reach our goal, but it is not the goal. If we claim the gift for ourselves, God will either destroy it or, through giving us the experience of suffering, show us that we have nothing to offer, that we are helpless, and that it is he who gives us everything. It's the hardest lesson to learn. I'll cooperate with God. I'll play my part and God will play his part. No, God wants the whole thing from beginning to end. And sometimes he deprives us of things to let us know that in and of ourselves, as I've said so often on this program, we are not the source. We are not the source. Please, brothers and sisters, pay attention and make some of the decisions that I think each of us needs to make. What are your priorities? Where are you going? How are you living out your faith? I mentioned yesterday and I mention again, I have a new booklet on mercy. This one is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. You've read my other one, Captured by Mercy, but I'm now offering a new one which deals with a different aspect of our lives in relation to the mercy of God. This one is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. This new booklet you can access by calling our 800 number at the end of the program. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.